going on, travelers? Welcome to another episode of Hitchhiker's Guide to Ethical Non-Monogamy, ENM for short. I'm your host, Ike, Hito in other circles, and I'd like to welcome you to episode 20. It's a little late, but we are here talking about, does cash rule everything around poly? Get that money, dollar bills, y'all. I couldn't help myself. The name was too fire. But yeah, today I want to just go ahead and talk about something that honestly, it kind of runs the world in general, and that's money, moolah, the dollars, the scratch, the whatever nicknames you can give to just something that you exchange in a form of currency to get a little something. But before we go ahead and talk about it, just quick catch up. Like, the reason why I came up with the idea is because I just started my new job a couple weeks ago, which is why there's been a bit of a delay recording. But yeah, just start a new job. I'm glad I got it. Happy to be able to pay my bills again because it was a struggle, especially when you run out of unemployment. And that guy, like, apparently I paid him back because eBay or a bunch of hoes talking about they didn't take my ADHD seriously. So I got to pay that back, but I'm going to take my sweet time with that. But that's pretty much what I've been doing, just getting settled in for the new job. It is a work from home gig, so I'm thankful for that. It allows me to, like, you know, just roll out of bed and clock in. And it's kind of like a job I wanted. I wanted to get into tech support. I didn't want to do the call center thing no more. I didn't want to do that. Like, my issue with call centers is there is no real goal. It's like a flowing rotation of same old, same old. And you kind of get tired of that kind of thing, especially because the environment is not the most healthy. Because it's all about churn and burn. That's the reason why most call centers got quick turnover, because people don't want to do that forever. Shout out to the people that stick it out. I'm just not one of them, so I'm happy that I'm in the position I'm in now. Beyond that, my lovely anchor partner, we've been doing good. Just trying to make it, because relationships are not really like something that's easy, but they shouldn't be too hard. It really just comes down to communication, understanding, and working with one another. And I really am blessed for her because, again, I've been unemployed since July, well, pretty much August of last year. And I'm not going to go ahead and put everything on her. I did the Grubhubs, the Amazon Flexes, had an employment for a time, then I'm going to pay back. And just purely just like working as hard as I can. I did do like a boot camp. I talked about that with y'all. The coding boot camp, did that, completed that, but it's kind of hard because everyone's doing the boot camp, so of course that job's not going to fall in my lap. So for now, I'm at the company I'm at. I can move up to a position where I can use my skills from the boot camp, but for now, let me just go ahead and get my like foundation back on the ground. Kind of been out of touch with another, like, my potential partner, because people go through things. Like, she has her own battles that she's dealing with, because life be life. And one thing I'm not going to do is try to, like, push her into a corner, like, try to force time or anything of that nature. I prefer giving someone space to work things out and be there whenever I'm needed. Outside of that, trying to travel again now that I have funds. I'm joking with some friends where now that I got a job again, the summer of Daddy Thoughtums is about. So I do have some events going on. I'm going to be traveling to the weekend. The weekend of the 29th, I'm going to the Fun Sexuals play party. After that, I have, I'm going to Hedonism 2 in July. Like, I got things going on that I'm glad I can, like, actually pay for now, along with my rent and Cardinals and whatnot. But yeah, it's just pretty much just trying to, now that I've been keeping the flow, it's time to like get in the boat and start like cruising. And that's what kind of inspired me to create this episode talking about money in regards to E&M. Now, I have to look in this direction because that's where my notes are. So yeah, that's it. We're talking about being non-monogamous and money, because money is very important just for existing. So, I mean, there's some people that love money. There are some people that hate money. Right now, there is a big wave of people that can't stand capitalism because of the harms that it can cause. because if you look at it, the way industries are set up, it's about grabbing as much money as possible with disregard for anything. That's the reason why you have these job, these billion and trillion dollar companies having massive layoffs, not because they can't afford the workers, but because they're trying to maximize profit. Like, these are people making, what, $100,000, between, like, $20,000 to $100,000 a year, and companies are trying to shave that off in order to, like, rake in more cash and help their stocks and all these other things that they do. So money is very vital in society. I know there's some people that would love to just work, build, be on the commune and farm and do things, but even they can escape what money's about, because get the farm equipment, buying a house, buying land, all comes with money. Though there are some people I know, they do the barter system where they are actively trying to not have money be the defining thing for their life. I was just at an event with Goddess Honeybee where she does have a barter system. I don't know what that is. That is between her and who she's bartering with. And I can see how that can also work in regards to non-monogamy. But the thing is, when it comes to non-monogamy, you have to go find other partners. If you're like, you got to go date, you got to go meet people. And typically that involves going on dates, whether it's coffee, dinner, movies, bowling. Like, these things cost funds. And there are two big things that go on whenever we're talking about dating while being non-monogamous. On one end, do you make enough money to be dating multiple people? And number two is this weird polygamy, mainly polygyny myth, how you're going to get multiple wives in order to build generational wealth because three incomes is better than two. That's the other big primary thing that comes up with non-monogamy and money. I'm definitely not a fan of the latter. That doesn't make sense to me. But also, I'm Nigerian. So I come from a country where polygamy, because there are women with multiple husbands, it exists. But the way they operate is not the same as the principles that's been going on online, which is why I do not align with that whole build generational wealth through non-monogamy. Doesn't make sense to me. Let me get that one out of the way. Mainly because, again, it grinds my gears when I hear it. I involuntarily roll my eyes whenever there's like, hey, I'm this person, happy to be here. I'm just, you know, out here trying to build generational wealth. You know, let's go get it. I'm trying to build an empire. I try my best to make sure my video's off, if there's like a Zoom or something, because my eyes roll back. I'm afraid it'll get stuck. Again, and the reason why, you find your tribe where they want that, good for you. I'm happy for you. Live life how you see fit. But the idea that I'm going to go date to find someone for the purpose of them getting their income to bring into a pool for my own, and considering that building wealth, it doesn't make sense to my Nigerian sensibilities, because back where I'm from, yes, in order to get a wife, you pay a bride price to the father of said person you want to marry. You do not take on a second wife unless you are functionally capable of handling multiple wives. If you don't have what it means to handle any wife, guess what? You're not getting any wives. Or you might be getting a wife of someone that is essentially trying to get their daughter out of their house or something like that. But either way goes, multiple wives mean that you have the income, the means, and the purpose to handle multiple wives. So the idea that you're looking to get multiple wives, girlfriends, etc., just so that you can get their money in versus you having the funds to take care of them, that's a little ass backwards for me. You have to, if you're going to go ahead and claim to be a polygamous, then you have to be able to handle the responsibility of being said polygamous. You can bring it up in the Bible. Oh, the Bible, these were kings that were rich. They had the means to handle multiple wives, multiple kids, etc. You over here working your 9-to-5, barely getting by, to try to, it's a power thing. Like, to tell someone, hey, bring your funds in, I'm going to control it, even though I am not the one that's making said funds. You can't control someone that makes their own money. And the idea that's where you're starting your dating principle off, it just rubs me wrong. But again, I don't mean to yuck anyone's yums. If that works for you, it works for you. It just ain't for me. As far as what I was talking about prior, which was having enough money to date non-monogamously. Now, that one is where it's a little bit more nuanced, because I don't believe money dictates seeking affection, love, sex, etc. You can find people that you link and vibe with. Just honestly, be honest to yourself about your situation and be honest to them. Out here flexing things that you ain't got, living beyond your means just so you have multiple people, you're doing a disservice to yourself and them, because you're selling something to them that you don't have. So when they buy into it and see that you ain't have it, they're going to likely leave, or they're going to feel trapped because you gave them all this affection and whatnot, and they're just thinking, oh, I guess I'll stick it out to see what it might be. Like, you're starting off the relationship off of deceit. No, just honestly, be aware of your funds. If you can only afford to come up with free date ideas, there's nothing wrong with that. Because I know a lot of women that actually would just be happy with, oh, let's just go have a picnic at the park, vibe, chill, lay about. Like, affection does not need to cost money. Now, does money help things make things easier? Of course. When you have more, if you are able to have more funds, what that really buys you is more time to spend on your other partners. Because if you don't have the funds, you're most likely putting in all these long hours working nonstop. That's the reason why you have truckers on the road at all hours, because they are trying to just get that money. And when they get that money, they just, you know, they spend it on how they're trying to spend it. So for me, I have my anchor partner. I use anchor versus primary because I live that relationship anarchy life. I don't really do the whole, because I'm fucking you, you mean something more to me than anyone else. No, everyone means something to me. It's just that what we discuss about our dynamic is where our dynamic is going to be. It can change, it can upgrade, it can downgrade based on me and her. So I prefer using anchor partner. This is the person that I'm living with. This term for living with in a polyamorous or non-monogamous setting is just your nesting partner. It's the person that you share your bills with, your rent, etc. Still non-monogamous, still able to date, sleep around, go on, be romantic with other partners. It's just that we combined our funds and live in a home together. Now, this it does have benefits. Let's not lie. One of the benefits of living together is splitting that rent, because I'm in Austin. Rent is ridiculous. Like, I'm at $1,700, and, like, paying that by myself, it is a struggle. It's like a check and a quarter, but I could pay my own rent, but it does help when you have a partner to split those bills with. So there are those benefits when you do have those kind of partnerships set up. But that's not to say that I'm with this person for that reason. Like, when I got with her, I was primarily paying most of the bills. Like, this significant split started happening after I lost my job, because I couldn't afford to handle everything. And that's kind of what the partnership, like any partnership, is about. You kind of see what the status is, what the situation is. You discuss, you evolve, and you kind of just go ahead and, like, figure it out along the way. With me and her, like, I do, because I still have certain sensibilities taught to me as far as being a man. So I still want to be in a position where she can, like, not work as hard, where she can, like, honestly, like, do as little as possible and we both be comfortable. That is still ingrained in me, so I'm doing my best to, like, climb whatever ladder so that way we can be comfortable. But you don't have to have my mindset in order to have a successful non-monogamous relationship. Honestly, you can literally just be flipping burgers, and and whoever you're with will love you to death, and they don't care about the money. They don't care about spending anything, because they want that connection that you two have. Money is not the issue here. Because, like, you'll see a lot of random talks of people that want to just build a commune. I have a close friend based in D.C. She grew up in that kind of, like, dynamic where it was people that had a land. They had their houses all close together. It was a commune where they helped each other out. And there's a lot of people that would like that kind of setup, because they are kind of sick of the quote-unquote American dream of one house, husband, wife, 2.5 kids. They're like, no, let's just be a village. Let's just all be together. Let's all love freely. Why restrict ourselves when we don't have to? And hell, my partner came from a co-op. Like, she lived with other people. Now, was she messing around with them? No. Could she have? Sure. Like, in that co-op, you had people that, like, were in relationships together. They dated amongst each other. Now, could things get messy? Of course, because humans are messy. That's who we are. And despite that, they made it work. And when things needed to break off, things broke off, and people made the moves that were necessary, just like any relationship. Because guess what? I'm an advocate of breaking up when things are detrimental to one or both parties. Like, I actually, like, brought it up to my partner before because, again, money, it'll cause a rough patch. But she was, you know, she was a little bit afraid because ADHD, I'd be impulsive. She is a planner. And so, you know, sometimes that causes a bit of a headache. And I have to remind her that, you know, if we're detrimental to each other, or if I'm detrimental to you alone, she's detrimental to me alone, I will personally end it because I've done it before. It wasn't fun. It wasn't pleasant. But we ain't got that much life to live to, like, just, like, torture one another, I guess is the way to put it. But, again, it was most likely a mood where she was, like, feeling in that. We talked it out. We discussed it because that's what you need to do. Got to communicate. Got to talk some things through. And that's just, like, money will normally be one of the top arguments in most relationships, especially, like, longer-term relationships, because life is a bitch and capitalism wants its coin. Like, even outside of said dynamic of me and her, there are solo polyamorous people. We talked about this in the previous episode. Give it a listen if you haven't. But when it comes to solo polyamory, the best way I tell it to people is, you are your own primary. You're your own main partner, your main lover, your main romantic, whatever. That is, you are the main person that take precedent over everybody. And typically in those solo poly dynamics, you don't really have a nesting partner. At least the few the few solo poly people I know, they prefer that they take care of themselves. They do not want a nesting partner. They don't want to share funds. They want that freedom that they have to be their own partner and include other partnerships along with what she got going on or what he got going on. It's really about that independence, because some people really do not want all that comes along with being in a partnership that's not solo. And there's nothing wrong with that. It is a bit harder because, again, I am fortunate enough to split my rent and other bills, and it's helpful. If I wanted to stick with solo polyamory, I would need to make sure that I'm putting myself in a position where I can actually, like, do that. Because, again, when you're solo polyamorous, you will still go on, you still want to go on dates, you still want to meet people, you still want to travel. So you don't want it all to be, you don't want to just be all bogged down working and, like, stuck having to just work and not be able to live your life just because you're trying to afford existing. And honestly, most of the people I know that are solo polyamorous, they make sure they put themselves in a position where that can be the case. Like, they don't need a person. They always function on wanting a person, which is truly freeing. And as far as individuals in terms of dating, like right now, I go on dates every now and again, be it coffee, dinner, etc. But I also, one thing to be mindful of is making sure that whether you're saturated or not. Because some people, because I think it might have been a couple episodes ago, I talked about new relationship energy. It's a real thing. You get excited, someone brand new, be it learning someone new, sex with someone new. Like, there are so many things that come with a new person. And one thing that kind of gets lost in learning a new person is how, if you're saturated or not. Because if you are out here spending money that you should not be spending to try and date someone and neglect your responsibilities with your other partners, it'll come back to bite you in the ass, because that's not fair to them and it's not fair to yourself. Like, you are truly causing harm to yourself by ignoring whether you are saturated or not, or at the bare minimum, making sure you're not, like, making sure you're putting yourself in a position to actually function and thrive in whatever, like, dating situation that you may be in. So, yeah, that's just pretty much when it comes down to, does casual everything around poly? No. Can it? Yes. Again, humans, creatures, habit. Like right now, I'm going to go to sleep soon just so I can wake up, clock into work because I need to still make more money. Because I like to I like to live under a roof. I like to have a car. I like to travel. So I got to make sure that I have the funds to, at a minimum, take care of myself. And then I still need more funds in order to do things for my partners, to do things for family, to do things for friends. So money is important because that is the status quo of society at the moment. I know some people that would prefer to just go to a pure barter system, but right now we just not live in that. So you have to be mindful of money when it comes to your dynamics, especially because it can ruin some great relationships. Trust me. ADHD, undiagnosed until I was like 26, I was job hunting before I realized why I kept losing jobs, was because of my impulses, because of my ADHD, not because I was a horrible human. It was because my ADHD did not allow me to function the way society was set up. Fortunately, I met my anchor partner after I learned all this and created a system so I can actually function in society and not have to worry about an eviction notice. So I would say overall, make sure you're comfortable. You don't have to be comfortable to date because everyone deserves love and you never know what someone might actually just want from you. Like, not everyone is out here trying to bag a rich person just so that they can relax and kick it. More than not, people want intimacy. People want love. People want realness. You can't buy that with money. Money makes things comfortable so you can actually search for that, but you can't buy that with money. So, no, cash does not rule everything around Polly. Being real, communicating, and actually going with people that work with you takes you a lot further. Honestly, you can ask a lot of women, mainly because not everyone... 4% of the United States are millionaires. I think they said like, 10 or 15% or like have $100,000 in the bank or something to that effect. Yeah, I used to work in banking. That's the only reason why I know that. But yeah, not everyone is rich like that. There are more people living paycheck to paycheck than kicking it on a beach somewhere sipping Mai Tais. So of course people know that we are all in this struggle together. I've ran across more women that prefer a man with ambition that's out here trying to get that money than trying to find someone that's well-established. That is not to say that they are going to throw away a well-established person if it comes along, but that is being real to the situation of society, especially in non-monogamous circles, because there's not a lot of us out here, especially as melanated folks, especially BIPOC. Hell, even amongst white people, there's not even that many non-monogamous people out here just striving and doing whatnot. So always just got to remember, money is a tool. I get it. It's a tool for power. It's a tool for freedom. But we got to remember, it's just a tool. We can't let a tool dictate our relationships and our dynamics. That's just honestly how I see it. Now, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this episode up. Again, thank you for your patience as I roll these episodes out. It's just, you know, settling into a new normal. I'm in training. I'll have my new schedule soon. Check out my other podcast with my host, Jam, Big Letter, Little Letter. You can go ahead and email me at hitchhikersguide@enm@gmail.com if you have any questions, concerns, comments, or you want to ask a question or write a letter in. I apparently give good advice. And also, check out the other podcast, Big Letter, Little Letter. Did create an Instagram for it, Big Letter, Little Letter. That's going to be on IG. Hitchhiker's Guide to ENM is also on IG. You can find me at Hedonistic Dom on IG also, Wikipedia. I've been twitching, so I'm just out here just trying to put myself out there a little bit more, because we need more podcasts with men that aren't just out here talking shit about women. Sorry, travelers, just make sure you look both ways before you cross these E&M streets, and I'll catch y'all next time. Peace.